Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless. I'm excited to for a number of things. We are preparing to cross over into 5786. The new year is upon us. Sundown tomorrow. Sundown, the 22nd. Rosh Hashanah is upon us. We got 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The Holy Convocation is a part of the Jewish calendar. Though we are not Jewish, we do honor the feast of the Lord and the times and seasons of God. I've done a lot of teaching in the ministry with time and season and honoring that time and season, how important it is. And so in accordance to the Gregorian calendar, the new year starts in January for those that know life as normal. But for us that are in the spirit, we move by the spirit. So by the time January comes, you late. You late between September, October, in January, you're probably about 3 months behind the spiritual schedule, the timeline of heaven. And so we want to teach and train and equip people to move and walk with the Spirit, to move in cadence and rhythm with what God is saying for you today, the rhema right now word that God has, so that you can continue to mature and move and manifest the kingdom of God in your day-to-day life. So, as we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah tomorrow, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, the Lord still is speaking to me concerning this supernatural acceleration that is taking place. And as I was preparing for you all today, he continues to preach and speak the word in Amos 9 and 13 through 15, actually. And so in one of our corporate monthly fasts for the ministry, we've seen several scriptures over and over and over again, but the Lord resounded very loudly, even as I hear him now blowing the shofar in the spirit, preparing us for tomorrow. It is a call and a commission assignment that God has for us. And there's a charge going forth now as the shofar is blowing and for Rosh Hashanah, as we're preparing to gather the biggest soul harvest we have ever seen to date. I am excited for this harvest season. I'm excited for what God is doing. And Amos 9 and 13, if we could have somebody read that for me, that'll be fine. I'll take a second. And you can read it or I can read it. It's up to you. You got it? Perfect. Perfect, perfect. Or whoever got it.
Amos 9:13.
Go ahead and read through 15.
Okay. This is in KJV. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Verse 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the way cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Verse 15. And I will plant them among their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God.
Amen. Bless the hearers and the doers of that word. God is here. God is moving. Let's go through just really quickly. I'm going to quickly exegete 13 through 15. I have with my personal ministry and team. But for those that are watching, those that are part of the community, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. That first verse is a revelation that he's announcing a shift. We are shifting. Matter of fact, we've already shifted past tense because the Spirit of the living God goes ahead of us, right? He goes ahead of us. So even as we try to catch up in the natural realm, what's happening in the Spirit is already present. It's already there and it's already finished and it's already done. And so God is announcing in verse 13, the shift in this season. You got to know the season you're in. Sometimes we're praying prayers out of season. And so this is why it's important for you to have a ear to hear what God is saying and what is happening in this hour, not just for this hour, for tomorrow, to have foresight, not just insight, but foresight to see what's coming. How do I prepare for what's ahead of me? And so there's a shift taking place in the realm of the spirit now. It's already shifted for this word that God has released. And so there's supernatural acceleration taking place. So there's a stretching that many of us are experiencing and feeling, and that's because we're behind in time. We're behind because the natural realm moves much slower than the spirit realm. The spirit realm moves at the speed of light because it's the kingdom of light. So it is very, very, very fast. So if you are sensing a stretching, a movement, right? If you're sensing like things are just moving fast, it's like this today, this tomorrow. Oh my God. Like, I don't know what to do with today. I'm barely getting through today and it's all, tomorrow's already here. That is because there's a season of shifting and stretching that is taking place. And God is trying to align your movement with the movement of God. And so in verse 13, he is speaking to, it's a prophetic declaration. The word behold signifies that something major is being revealed. Anytime you see the word behold in the Bible, that's like pay attention, right? Like, this is the word of the Lord. Take hold, listen. Right. And so there's a revelation that is taking place. And so God is trying to reveal himself to you and God is trying to reveal his plan for your destiny. And so we must be careful with the words we're using, with where we're going, with what we're saying, with who we are affiliating ourselves with, who God is telling us to purge, who God is telling us to disconnect and reconnect or even connect to, because they cannot go into the next place. God will show you, because pruning is a process, purging is a process. And so in the time and season, in order for you to bear the fruit of the harvest, you have to discern what's rotten, what's good, what's bad, what needs you need to pull back on, what you need to push through on, right? Because if not, one bad apple spoils the bunch, right? So you want to be careful of your affiliations and your connections. The next verse says that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. If you're following me line by line, we're going line upon line, precept upon precept. I try to go as quick as I can because this is actually part of the prophetic word that I'm releasing for 5786. And we're standing on Amos 9, 13 through 15. I would encourage you, even in your own time, to see whatever revelational insight that the Holy Spirit has for you, for what he is speaking to you about concerning this season and the season that is yet upon us. And so for the verse that says in 13, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. In natural farming, the plowman comes after the reaper. So in this particular situation, it's reversed. And so prophetically, God is saying that this is speaking to the supernatural acceleration, the accelerated harvest that are upon us, that there will be so much blessing that the sowing and the reaping happen simultaneously. So, you know, if you don't even have to go to church, you can be in the world and you've heard you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. That's kingdom principle. Right? But there's a process and a timeline to planting, plowing. There's a former rain season. There's a latter rain season. There's a harvest season, right? So you should be planting in one season. You should be gathering your harvest in another season. If you're not planting in the right season, right, then you will not have a harvest in harvest season. But this scripture is telling us that the reaping and the sowing will take place at the same time. My God, that no soon as you sow a seed in the ground, no soon as you sow and plant a seed, it's instantly going to manifest and reap a harvest. That the timeline that once was from this point to that point, I've told you many, many, many times that God does not move in linear fashion. That God does not move from A to B to C to D. God can go from A to Z in an instant because he is powerful. He is supernatural. And so he has power. You have power. And because we have the Holy Spirit, you're going to start to see as you are entering into this season, as we're crossing over and shifting into our new year, you're going to see seeds you plant in this hour reap by the end of the day, by the end of the next hour. You're going to see the seeds of your prayer. You're going to see the seeds that where you're not toiling and travailing and rolling and crying on the floor for years upon end, because God is going to answer your prayers just as he answered Daniel's prayer. Remember, it was 21 days. There was a fight that was in the realm of the spirit, but the prayer was answered before it even left Daniel, before it even left his lips. The prayer was already answered, but it took time for him to see the manifestation. And who knows how much longer it took from the time that the angel came to reveal and to send the message that there was a fight in the heavenlies. But God is supernaturally moving mountains for you in this season. God is fighting for you. There are legions of angels. There are more with you than there are with them. And so just as you see wicked accelerating in the earth, you see the wickedness getting worse by the day. The kingdom of God is accelerating as well, because the enemy can only counterfeit and copy. So if you're seeing an increase, which we are, of people who are not convicted, people who are calling wicked normal, right, and things like that, you're going to start to see revival and awakenings. You're going to start to see, even with the Charlie Kirk situation, regardless of how you feel about it, I've been seeing people in my neighborhood I ain't never seen on the corner with signs, Jesus is coming, repent. Jesus is coming, repent. So just as you're seeing vigils and things, well, vigils I think are a little bit demonic, but anywho, you know, as you're seeing people come together, you're seeing communities, you're seeing kingdom connections, you're actually seeing churches and people collaborating, not moving so silo like they used to. Come to my church. Now you're starting to see people come together. You're starting to see programs and conferences and people come together because there's strength in that. The next sentence, this next sentence, because I don't want to get too far. It says, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. The treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. The precept that this is speaking to are processes. There's a process in treading grapes, right, in order to get wine. And so God wants us to be filled with wine. God wants fresh wine, fresh oil, things like that. And so there's a process that comes to the season of treading and plowing and things like that. But this particular line and this precept is basically saying that the processes in your life and the process that God's taking you to and through is overlapping one upon the other. So the grape treader is the harvest, and it's ahead of the one that's planting. So you're going to reap a harvest without even planting. Without even putting a seed in the ground, you're going to reap a harvest. So this particular line and precept symbolizes overflow. We are preparing to enter. We've shifted. I've already shifted. I'm ready. We already moving. That there is overflow taking place. And there's continuous abundance. And so a new order is coming where fruitfulness will become the norm. We won't have to toil in these barren seasons forever. We're declaring our fruitfulness by the Spirit. That fruitfulness is going to be the norm and not the exception. Next verse. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine. Mountains are high places. Wine symbolizes joy, celebration, and covenant. That's what wine symbolizes. And so some of you are finding yourselves coming into communities that are more covenantal than you've ever experienced or seen them before. That you're not just in contact, but you're actually connected. And you're not just connected, but you're in covenant. Because there's a difference between being in contact, having access to a place. And there's another difference to be just connected to them. Like, I could be connected to you through my mama's side, my mama's mama's side, my cousin, you know, on my daddy's side. I could be connected. But when you're in covenant, that's relational. Just like we are in covenant with Christ. And so God's speaking to a lot of us this season, not only just with the covenant we have with him, but even the covenantal spaces and churches and places that he has preordained and predestined that are a part of your destiny. And God's saying, I want you to not just connect, I want you to be in covenant. There's a responsibility that comes to covenantal relationships. There's accountability that comes with covenantal relationships. That you're not just sitting in the back pew and sliding out of, in and out of church, dropping your tithe in the box in the back and walking out the door, and no one sees you and no one hears you and no one's praying with you and no one's covering you and no one's partnering with you, and you fighting backwards in the spirit. Because you don't not only know your covenantal responsibility and accountability to God, because you're struggling with the covenant of Christ, the new covenant, but you're struggling with relationships because the enemy has infiltrated every relationship in your life. And so now you distrust, you have distrust, you have mistrust, and the church didn't hurt me, my mama hurt me, my daddy hurt me, my cousin hurt me. I can't do nothing, be nothing, see nothing, have nothing, because it just ain't gonna work. But that's a lie. So just as mountains are high places, there are high places of authority and influence that God is going to fill and overflow in your life with the joy of the Lord. God is pouring spiritual and material abundance. We are not impoverished and in lack, and we're not moving in scarcity mindsets. We're not allowing the enemy to punk us out of our promise. We're standing on the word in this season. We're standing on the word in this hour that God said what he said. So we're coming out of barren realms, and we are preparing to come into realms that are supernatural, that are abundant, that are joyful, and are overflowing. My God. The next verse says, and all the hills shall melt. And all the hills shall melt. Hills represent obstacles. Hills represent smaller strongholds. So you have really large, great, you have principalities and you have powers, and there's different rankings in the realm of the spirit, not just godly, but ungodly. And so there's hills and there's valleys and there's mountaintops. So you have mountain seasons, you have hill and valley seasons, and you kind of ebb and flow in and up and down and all around these seasons. And so prophetically, God is revealing to us that he is dissolving and he's dismantling those valley seasons, those hill seasons, that you will spend more time on the mountain with him, getting a word from him. You're going to spend more time in high places, not the low places, that God is softening the hard ground, the areas that you have not been able to plant seed and to plow and to till because the ground was just too hard. The soil that's set and ready for the seed. Because this is where we see transformation. So God's breaking the limitations and he's releasing favor. Verse 14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. I will bring again, again, again. Pay attention when God speaks. Every word is for a reason. There's a reversal of judgment. God is restoring his people. We are his people. Whether you Jew or Gentile, we are his people. We are his chosen generation. We are his and he is ours. And so even as we're recognizing these Jewish feasts and the calendar, right, that God, that's actually spiritual timelines and agendas that are already preset. And of course, Jesus was Jewish, right? So we know we're a part. We've inherited who he is. And so this is restoration. And this restoration is personal. It's personal. Where there was bondage, you will now see, seek, and feel and manifest liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This ain't just flawed and free. This is freedom for the captive. So spiritually, there's deliverance and there's a spiritual exile that's taking place. And God's coming back and bringing you back into covenantal alignment. Next phrase, next line. It says, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. Restoration includes rebuilding. So there's some breaking down and there's some building back up. There's some desolate places. There's some areas in your bloodline. There's some things that have been holding on to you and you holding on to them. But God is breaking that off of you in this season. God's releasing a rebuilding anointing. Lord is releasing an anointing to rebuild the ruined cities, to rebuild your family, to rebuild. So we are now moving in the anointing, the Nehemiah anointing that I've seen over this ministry even. We are moving in an anointing and a design to rebuild. We're recovering those things that are lost. We're recovering lost territories. We are recovering broken ministries. We see things being broken and brought down, broken and brought down, even in this exposure ministries and all this stuff that's happening right now. That's because God is tearing down, breaking down, because he's preparing ministries like this and many others to rebuild ruined relationships. God's rebuilding. Abandoned callings. God's rebuilding. Next phrase, it says, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. The precept upon precept that is being discussed in this line is saying that not only will you plant, but you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. I don't know about you, but I don't want to plant. I want to enjoy the fruit now. Not when I die and go to heaven. Now. God's breaking the cycle of laboring and toiling without reward. He's breaking that. Laboring with no reward. You will see the fruit of your obedience, but are you being obedient? And not only will you see the fruit of your obedience, but your sacrifice. See, those two go hand in hand. You can't obey without having a sacrifice. When you're rebuilding altars, you need a sacrifice. An acceptable one. A holy one. This is why this mixture ain't working no more. I'm finna preach into this. I'm just trying to release this word. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. We're still in verse 14. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Gardens speak of cultivation. Gardens speak of cultivation, beauty, and intentional growth. This is about personal restoration, spiritual intimacy, and divine insight. This is Eden being reestablished. The Garden of Eden? Come on, are we tracking? The initial intent and function of the Garden of Eden is being reestablished. Listen, that is stewardship. That is dominion. That is power. That is subduing the earth. That is flawed and free. This is the garden. You will nurture, you will grow, and you will partake of what God is planting in your life now. Verse 15, and I will plant them upon their land. God himself is doing the planting. So where are you trying to figure out what to plant, where to plant, what to do, what soil to get, which way to go, put it on the right, put it on the left, put it in the middle, put it on the side. Listen, God is planting. This is divine establishment that you can't plant. That's the whole point. You're going to reap from gardens that you did not plant. This is divine positioning, realignment, reestablishment, being placed in the right sphere of influence. You're going to see your influence actually have impact. That you're not just showing up just to be seen, but that you're showing up to service the people of God, and the people of God are going to reap from your influence, and it's going to impact a nation. This is assignment. This is land. This is deeds. This is titles that have been taken and stolen from your bloodline. This is destiny alignment, and this is inheritance. Next verse, and they shall no more be pulled up. And they shall no more be pulled up. The restoration that God is doing in our life right now is permanent. It's permanent. It literally is permanent. My God. This is why we have to be careful about what and where we are rooted. Because whatever and wherever you are rooted in the place, that's the fruit you're going to bear. So that's spiritual roots. That's personal roots. That's wherever. So there's things you're going to have to uproot. There's things you're going to have to plant. But it's important in order to see the harvest that God is planting not only for you, but even what you are partnering with him in. Out of their land, which I have given them. That's the next phrase. Next line. Out of their land, which I have given them. The land is a gift from God. It's not earned, but it's given. This is the overflow we're going to be moving in. This isn't going to be because of your works. It's not going to be because of your service. It's not going to be because of who you connected to. It's not going to be because of anything, but because God has given it to you, has gifted it to you. This is the inheritance of God, both natural and spiritual. And this may represent ministry. This may be your calling. This may be geographical land, deeds, and titles. It may be spiritual dominion in an area of authority, wherever God has called you to, whatever sphere of influence you're called to. There's land in the spirit and in the natural realm that God is giving to us. Saith the Lord thy God, the covenantal name, thy God emphasizes relationship. He's yours. He's mine. And these promises are anchored in covenant. They're anchored in covenant, in this covenantal relationship you have with God, because God is not distant. He is the provider, he's the initiator, and he is the guarantor. He's signing deeds, land, title, contracts, you name it. Glory be to God. God, we thank you. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the garden, the stewardship, the overflow, the abundance, the rebuilding, the inheritance. We standing on that word in this season, standing strong in the name of Jesus. Today's sermon, I may not get through it all today, and that's fine. I'll do my best. If not, we'll be here next week. Make sure you come. Today's title is Deliverance to Destiny. Deliverance to Destiny, the divine detour that breaks the bloodline and bursts the mantle. I'll say it again. Deliverance to Destiny. The divine detour that breaks the bloodline and bursts the mantle. I speak by the unction of the Holy Ghost to every bound soul under the sound of my voice. Today is the day of divine interruption. I declare that every satanic assignment, every proclivity, every appointment, every generational iniquity, every curse, and every delay, that it is arrested now by the fire of God. That you are not just coming out, but you are crossing over. As we're preparing to cross over into 5786, tomorrow, we are shifting and we are preparing to receive the appointments of God, the divine accelerations of God. And we are moving from deliverance to destiny. No more recycling deliverance to the point to where we're reopening doors to the same demons and fighting the same strongholds over and over and over again, because we have not moved from the place of deliverance into our destiny. I'm going to show you how today to move from one phase to the next phase, from one season to the next season, so that you can actually move from a place of deliverance to dominion. This is your exodus. This is your exodus. This is your transitioning from trauma to the throne. This is your exodus. This is the pit to the palace. This is the pit to the prophetic. This is a place of captivity to coming into your calling. This is a divine disruption that is taking place today. And I'm going to show you and teach you today what is deliverance. What's deliverance to destiny? What does that look like? There's three phases I'm going to go over today of deliverance. Three phases. That deliverance is not just the book of Exodus. It's not just deliverance out of Egypt. In order to see the manifestation of God, you must move with God and you must allow your mind to move first. Your mind, I've told you, and I'll say it again, there may be people here that are new. It starts in the mind. It goes from your mind to your mouth to your members. That's the order. When your mindset has not shifted and your mind has not changed and you're not operating from a higher realm of thinking, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, then you will always manifest what's at the realm in which you think. So if you're operating and moving in the mindset of a lower dimension and realm, then you will see more demonic entities and you'll see more things that are dark and you'll see things that, and you're trying to contend, but really you're not contending from the place in which you reside, which is the place that you're seated. You're not rightly positioned. And so there's a process from being delivered out of Egypt into your land of Canaan. But the land of Canaan is a place of elevation, not just evacuation. So some of us are still delivered, but we have not elevated. We delivered and we chasing our tails. So there's a prophetic pathway. There's a narrow gate. We talked about doors and portals and gates. There's a narrow gate that separates those who are just rescued and those that are positioned for rulership. Righteously. It's a narrow gate. This is why you see a lot of believers that you believe, oh, Christians, and oh, I know Jesus. Oh, you're like, oh, I know Jesus too. But their fruit says something otherwise. And you're like, they don't talk like Jesus. They don't look like Jesus. They just quote scriptures. They're not rightly postured or positioned, nor moving in rulership. There's no authority. There's no power. There's no nothing but just a bunch of heresy and talk, but no walk to go with it. Deliverance will break the bondage. Destiny will activate the blueprint. So the bondage is broken But your destiny, you have yet to take dominion in and through and over because it hasn't been activated. So some of you come into a place, maybe you never heard of an apostolic ministry or even an apostle to even know what our function is. And so we are called to disciple and to activate, shift atmospheres. Apostles are godly principalities. The ranking in the realm of the spirit, even in those that are blood-bought born again, because it's Jesus that gives us the authority and the power. But your mind and your life and your movement has to match. You have to be recognized in heaven as someone that can even overthrow the enemy. Someone that can even dispossess in the power that God has already given you. But you're staying in a lower realm and you won't come up. And you waver. One day you're up, one day you're down. One day you're up, one day you're down. So no matter where you are in these phases or in this process, understand that deliverance will break the bondage. Deliverance will set you free. Deliverance will get the demons out. But your destiny is what sets you apart. So when you are chasing or destiny's chasing you, when God is positioning you to reach and take dominion over your destiny, that's when you see everything look like it's falling apart. Because it's supposed to. I hate to break it to you. It's supposed to. Because you have to be tested. You have to be tried. You got a war. You have to be patient. You have to build a prayer life. Too many people stop at deliverance. They get delivered. They go home. They stop right there. We haven't done a good enough job, and even myself over time, I've understood and I'm coming to understand even all the more the importance of the process of deliverance. I wrote a book. It's on Amazon. It's called How to Maintain Your Deliverance. I've been saying for years that getting free is easy. That's one thing. Pulling and casting demons out is one thing. But keeping your deliverance, maintaining your deliverance is where the real work comes in. Some people are just so happy to be free from Pharaoh and they're flailing from there because, well, I got delivered. My life should be grand. No, the war just began. The work just started. It just got started. And destiny will demand dominion. The Greek definition of dominion is kuriatase, kuriates. I said it wrong, but it's K-U-R-I-O-T-E-S. Strong's Concordance, if you have one, is G-2963. It means dominion. Dominion is lordship. Dominion is sovereignty. Dominion is rule and authority. That is why it is one of our pillars at this ministry. To deliver, disciple, and dominion. Because you ain't doing nothing if you're not taking dominion. Yeah, you can go to a deliverance ministry and you can go to a conference and get delivered, but then what? If you're not taking dominion, you're doing nothing. And a person who possesses dominion or moves in dominion has governing power. So dominion is a governing authority. We move in dominion by the Holy Ghost. It's the language of kings. It's the language of priests. And it's rulership. It's legislating and it's subduing. Hear me. You can't be a king if you haven't yet become a son. You can't be a son of God if you are a daughter, a child. And there's a process in legislative authority and power, ranking, the ability to govern, to legislate the government of God, which is the word of God. So there are people that are declaring the word with no legislative authority because of the way they live their life. Remember, the prayers of the righteous are worth avail of much. So if you are living an unholy life, a life that is not righteous in Christ, because it is because of his righteousness that we're able to move, manifest, have our being, and have the things that we design and desire that are predestined for us. And so there's a partnership, but in that partnership comes relationship. So people are declaring scriptures and speaking scripture and coming and giving the word, but there's no relationship. So there is no covenantal access that is giving you the authority to move and manifest anything in the earth. When you speak, ain't nothing moving. Demons just looking at you like, where I'm finna go? We don't even know who you is. We ain't never heard you in the spirit. We ain't, this the first time you done prayed since you got saved. So dominion is not a suggestion, it's your inheritance. It is literally your inheritance. Deliverance will bring you out, but destiny will cause you to take territory. So you can come out of a place, but you haven't taken territory. You've not gathered your harvest. You've not come into the place that God needs you to steward and to take domain, to own, to rule, to have. So the first phase is the Exodus phase. The Exodus phase. And the Exodus phase is deliverance. It's the deliverance from bondage. Remember, God delivered Israel out of Egypt. They were enslaved for 430 years. And the people of God were delivered. But there was a separation that took place. So when God brings you out of bondage, he not only takes you out of Satan's grip, but he will begin to separate you. And he is separating just like he separates the wheat from the tares. Just like, so he will pull you out of the pit, pull you out of a place of oppression, but you've been rescued, but you haven't been renewed. You've been rescued from bondage and oppression. You've been rescued from demons and different things, but your mind has yet to be renewed. So we can see, even when you read in Exodus, right? Even when you read and when Moses delivered, it was the mindsets. Them jokers was murmuring, complaining, and clowning. Because they still had an Egyptian mindset. They even wanted to go back. It was better where we was. Even with the pillar of cloud, the cloud by day and the fire by night, they had the presence of God day in, day out. God was giving them manna. God was giving them provision. Think about yourself as I go through this today. Where and what phase am I in my deliverance to destiny? What phase am I in to coming into dominion? Am I still in the Exodus phase? The Lord says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, to come out from among them and be separate. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. So your deliverance is not complete until you step into kingdom authority, into your divine assignment, and until you take spiritual dominion. Your deliverance ain't over. You're still in process. You just got the demons cast out. You just got out of bondage. That you could actually you could open the door to reset. Matthew 12, 43 through 45. Because when those demons leave and the house is left clean and empty and void, you have to fill your house with the Spirit of God. You have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. But what happens? You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. You do what you want when you want, how you want. You show up when you think you need to, when you feel like you need God, like he's some sort of charger in a wall and you need to charge your battery back up. Well, let me go over here. Let me go to church. Okay, let me go listen to this sermon now. Let me go to this. After you did everything that you wanted to do, and then you come back and you wonder why you're not healed, you wonder why you're not delivered, you wonder why you're not breaking free, you wonder why you're not moving into the next place, you wonder why you're still stuck. Well, I had deliverance. This is where the believer in the Exodus phase begins to walk in power, identity, and calling. A lot of you have not moved out of the Exodus phase because the enemy is still attacking you in areas of your identity. The enemy is still attacking you in the areas of your calling. So you're still a babe in the Exodus phase. You have not even come close to being a king, to legislate, to rule, and to have authority nowhere, because you're still struggling or allowing the enemy to tempt you, because he might not be in you, but he is trying to find a route and a way to get back in. So he starts to get in your mind, talk crazy to you. And the second he starts to speak, you listen. Doesn't the Bible say that we should rebuke, resist the devil, and he will flee from you? That's what the Bible says. Why are you giving the enemy room? Why are you giving him a whole day? Why are you giving him a whole night? Why are you giving him day after day after day? Why are you giving him 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours of your day? The minute, I said this before, the minute you hear the enemy speak to you, you got 30 seconds to rebuke him and command him to leave, because the word still stands that if you resist, the devil will flee. Now, you might have to do it 10, 20 times a day, maybe. I don't know. But at least try. Stop letting the devil have breakfast with you every day. Have dinner with you. You just give him a seat at the table. Go and have a conversation. Let's talk. You might as well. So in the Exodus phase, God's establishing the kingdom. And he's preparing you to set others free, just as you got free. One of the key characteristics of the season and the Exodus phase is a radical break from your old life. For me, it was like night and day. So if you're still teetering and tottering and wavering, there's probably still some areas you need to confront truthfully, transparently, and honestly, because there's some parts of your old life you still want. You don't want to give up. Your comfort, whatever, this loyalty, this friendship, this relationship, this career, this job. And so when you truly break, you break. And one of the things I've come to notice in seasons of this phase is the enemy will chase you out. Pharaoh, did he not chase after the people? He said, yeah, they could go. They crossing the Red Sea. Here he come. Do not find it strange that you're getting deliverance, or you're postured or positioned for deliverance, and Pharaoh is chasing you. That's why you cannot lay down and go to sleep. La, 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 la. Living my life. Living my life. Woo, I feel so free. So light. So great. Pharaoh's chasing you. Pharaoh is chasing you. People you ain't never talked to, people that didn't care nothing about what you was doing. Hello, how you doing? What you doing? The day you plan to go to church, you want to go to Sunday Funday? Want to go have brunch? You want to go blaze? Pharaoh's chasing you. You know why Pharaoh's chasing you? Because he doesn't want you to get to the other side. When the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea, they were crossing over on their way to the other side. But guess what? They hadn't reached Canaan. They were just crossing the Red Sea. It was just one phase, one part of their process. And the enemy came chasing after them. But we know what happened. Drown your enemies that are chasing you with the word of God. Drown your enemies and tell them, I don't belong to that kingdom no more. The old has passed away. This is the new. Get to know me. Reintroduce. Put a new reintroduction on your social media. Hey, this is the new me. Anybody that don't like it here can leave. This is my public service announcement. But what we do, try to make people comfortable with our transition. Try to make people comfortable. Stay connected. Well, maybe I'll just kind of do this and do that, but not do this, but not do that. Sometimes you got to cut people off. Sometimes it's your mother. Sometimes it's your child. Sometimes it's you got to sever that tie. There's no room to linger and malinger. There's no room. You can love people still, but you don't have to entertain their foolishness. You don't have to give room to their conversation. You don't, because this is my sister. This is my friend. This is my from so-and-so. I've been friends with them for 20 years, 30 years, 10 years, 5 years. I've done this. I've done that. When God is severing a tie, you got to completely cut that tie. Because you can disconnect and still love people from afar. You can still forgive, but not be reconciled. Not be in union and unity, in communion with them. You can still see them, pray for them. But in this season, you better be careful. Because in this Exodus phase, this is what you need to be doing. You need to be focusing on renouncing old agreements. Renouncing old agreements, renouncing idols, renouncing soul ties. This is your Exodus deliverance phase. You need to be breaking generational curses and evil patterns and demonic cycles. You need to be submitting fully to the Lordship of Christ. Not a little. He ain't a side piece. He's not the garnish on your plate. He needs to be the first of all things, the first fruit of your day, the first of everything. He needs to be Lord over your life. See, he was Savior when he delivered you. He was your Savior. But he needs to be your Lord and Savior, meaning he needs to rule and reign, meaning he needs to be first and not last. Surround yourself with strong teaching and community. Some people, God will break from their church when they get deliverance. It happens all the time. Because God is trying to move them into a new dimension of dominion. And God might have used that church or that person or that relationship or that small group or whatever in the gateway season. It became a gateway to where you are and where God's taking you. But if you don't discern the time and the season and move, well, you know what? I'm still trying to do, you know, because I've been serving here for so long and this and that. And God's saying, move. God's saying, move. So you need to surround yourself with a community of people that are where you at, if not above you, that can actually pray and get a prayer through for real. For real. So the Exodus phase is the disruption phase. It's a divine disruption, but it's a disruptor. You are a godly disruptor. Stop trying to fit in and be friends. Baby, you're not finna be friends. The devil don't like you. He don't like you. He don't like where you serve. He don't like the people you friends with. He don't like nothing that comes. The devil, listen, you gotta decide. Am I going to be okay with being a disruptor? Am I going to be okay with being the only one in the room standing for Jesus? Am I going to be okay when people call me holier than thou? Am I going to be okay when people say, oh, your church so small? I don't know that church. I ain't never heard of that church. No. It ain't on my radar. It's got to be a cult. Anytime I see small churches, it's witchcraft. Not knowing the relationship they in is witchcraft. Straight up witchcraft. So when God calls you out, he's not calling you out just to look at him. He's calling you to something greater. He's not just calling you out so you can say, I got saved and I got demons cast out. Look at me. He's trying to bring you into something bigger than you. And the enemy does not let go willingly. So you're going to have to fight. This place, this Exodus phase, it's a place of deliverance, but it's also a place of affliction. Oh, y'all thought you was unicorns and rainbows and you was gonna ride off in the white horse with Jesus and life was going to be grand and great and wonderful and you weren't going to have no nothing. You was just going to just live and love on God and the people was going to love you because you it's a new me. It's a better me. Can't you see? I'm better. And the people looking at you like you got worse. I don't think that deliverance worked. Because it's the way that the enemy, the lens the enemy sees you. So the people that was chanting and pushing you to deliverance or pushing you to get better, you know, they was okay when you was out here flipping and flopping, tossing in the wind. But when they saw change, that's when that lip starts snarling a little bit. They start looking at you a little sideways. How dare you change something that I've been trying to change my whole life? And I haven't had the discipline nor the community to do it. Come on now. I don't have the want nor the desire that you have. I don't have the zeal that you have. I don't have the conviction that you have. So because I don't have that, I'm going to douse your fire. And I'm going to poke at the areas that the enemy is still raising, or that the Lord is raising up in you. And you will, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I shouldn't do that. I didn't mean to offend you. I just, what? Baby, this me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. That's right. Delivered, healed, set free, made whole, happy, healed. You got a problem with that? Oh, okay, well, move around. Because I'm finna do just what I'm doing, with or without you. But instead, you'll concede. Well, you know, I'm still on my journey. You know, God's being patient with me. You know. Sometimes you got to confront the devil face to face and say, what I got, you can have. The only difference is I said yes. In your timing, God bless you. I'll pray for you. You can't drag people to deliverance. You can't drag people to the altar. They got to want it. But that fire of affliction, this is what people get hung up in following Christ. Because now you have a huge target on your back. Forget the red target, Target. It's bigger than that. That target is so huge, you could probably barely sleep some days. Because again, Pharaoh's chasing you. Pharaoh is chasing you because he does not want you to come into the fullness of who you are. Baby, you're going to fight. And this fire of affliction will birth hunger for change. The affliction is what you need in this phase. And a lot of people fail at this in this phase because they don't even never heard of spiritual warfare. They don't victory. They don't know how to pray in war. They don't know how to endure to the end. One, two prayers. You giving up? I can't do this no more. Life was better on the other side. I didn't have all of this before. I didn't got saved. Now, it seemed like everything just falling apart. The fire of affliction is your detour to the divine place and space that God's taking you to. The fire of affliction is refining. It is a refining process. It's intense. It's a process of suffering. It's a process of pressure. It's a process of adversity that God allows. We get mad at God because he allows affliction. Well, God, if I'm your daughter and I'm your son, God, if I'm delivered, why am I hurting? Why do I feel pressure? Why do I feel stretched? Why do I feel like this is hard? Why? Because God will allow affliction to bring humility. God will allow affliction to bring obedience. God will allow affliction to purify and refine you. God will allow affliction to process you. You don't know warfare until you experience a measure of affliction. And you still got to stand no matter what. You still have to move in faith. You still have to be obedient. You still got to show up. You still got to pray. Well, what does the enemy do? The minute you start feeling the weight and the pressure and the fire, we don't want to do the work. You want to go to sleep. You don't want to show up. I just can't do it. But just know that God is fighting for you. He's fighting for you. Even when you're tired, even when you're fatigued, even when you don't know, God never stops fighting for you. But you will only see the measure of deliverance and defeat of the enemy with as much as you are actually willing to do. You will only see as much of God as you allow. So you're wondering why somebody else has more encounters or has a closer relationship or can do things that you don't seem to be able to do. It's not because they're more special or they're better, but they have desired to see so much of God that that's what you're seeing, the power of God. You're seeing God himself. And God wants to use each and every one of us in that same way. But you only get a measure of him from which you're willing to give into. Some of us are just okay with coming to church on Sunday and praying once a week. But the fire of affliction will bring a hunger to you when you get whopped upside your head. When you get drugged out in these streets. It will bring a hunger to you that you won't eat or sleep. You'll be in fast you didn't even ask to be in. Because food ain't even on the agenda for the day, okay? Food is the last thing I'm thinking about. Talking to my cousin and my friend is the last thing I'm thinking about today. Because I ain't got nothing but Jesus on my mind. So the fire of affliction is not sent to destroy you. Though the enemy will get in your head and he'll tell you, like, you ain't gonna make it. You gonna die here. You ain't never gonna get married. You ain't never gonna be what God called you to be. You ain't never go. The fire of affliction is sent to develop you. You gotta be developed. You cannot skip the process. You think I got here skipping the process? Some of the warfare I went through would have took some of y'all out. Like, there's just no way. Some of y'all don't even know half of, because I haven't even told you. I've shared some things. I've shared. It's only because, and it's not just for me. It's for you. I've gone through years of warfare. Years. Sometimes in one area. Sometimes in multiple areas. Day in. How do you think I got to 8 and 12 hours of prayer? You thought it was because I just was like, oh, let me just go. I just love God so much. I do. But that's where my endurance came from. Where I was like, I ain't doing nothing until this changes. And sometimes I didn't even have that ability to do nothing. Matter of fact, most times I had to war and show up. I had to war and pray for people. I had to war and take care of my children. I had to war and cook dinner. I had to war and pay my bills. I had to war. Listen, this ain't no, oh, I'm going to do this today. Maybe I'm going to pick it back up next week. And, oh, I'm going to check out for 3 days. There was no luxury in that. I was a single mother of 3 children who still needed me to be a mother. I was a career woman. I was a nurse practitioner and a registered nurse for years. My job was helping people. I still had to come in where people were broken and in pain and hurt, getting ran over by buses and trains. And I still had to come in with a smile on my face for 12 hours straight. And then come home, cook dinner, and then check the homework, and then show up for parent-teacher conferences, and then that, and still was in pain myself. Functional depressive, fighting behind closed doors. No church to lead me and help me with nothing. That I was just laid out, crying out to God, I'm so tired. It's just me. To this day, I'm experiencing some measures of stretching and things in the midst of my warfare, in the midst of the enemy trying to kill me. What I'm going to do, say, forget y'all. I'm having a bad day. I have bad days all the time. Bad days I don't even share. By the time you have a conversation with me, 3, 4, 5 things didn't happen. I just move in silence. Move in silence. Take my prayers to God and keep it moving. Keep it pushing. Why? Because there's an assignment and a call that cannot stop because of the warfare. Can't. Even Jesus went through it. Even Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5 and 8. You can read that for yourself. But though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You're going to suffer. Just let it go. You're going to suffer. You're going to hurt. You're going to feel pain. You're going to. Even Paul. Paul was an apostolic giant. He wasn't exempt from the fire of affliction. Every time I see and experience this, I always go to Paul. I always go to Job. I always go, because in my mind, I'd be like, yeah, this hurt and yeah, this hard, but there's an example. Job received double for his trouble. Baby lost his family, the cattle, the dogs, everything, friends. That's the fire of affliction. Paul's thorn in his flesh, we don't know what it was, but it was from the furnace of his faith, his affliction. But guess what? It didn't stop his mission. It didn't stop his mission, but it sharpened it. That's what God is doing with you. This ain't to shut you down. God can shut down whatever he wants to shut down because he's God. If he's not doing something or he's allowing something, remember, he allowed between Satan. God said, Satan said, let me touch him. He said, go ahead and touch him. Just don't kill him. And the devil did everything but kill him. Even for Paul, God didn't remove the thorn of affliction. He didn't remove it. But he revealed his strength in it. Sometimes that's what you need, because where God's taking you and for who you are in the spirit, you need some muscles in the spirit. You got to lift some weight in the spirit. You can't go to the nations weak. You can't go to the dry places weak. You can't evangelize if you can't cast out a demon, because they gonna manifest the minute you open your mouth and say Jesus. Them demons is manifesting. You better know what to do when you witness it. God needs witnesses. You don't grow in the spirit being quiet. I saw something recently. They said God needs witnesses, worshipers, and warriors. God needs witnesses. So evangelism's for everybody. Not if you're a fivefold evangelist. You should be witnessing everywhere you go. You should be like Mary at the well. Look at what Jesus has done. Look at where Jesus is. Let me point you. But y'all will walk around and hold Jesus in your heart. Y'all will walk around. Good thing I'm saved. Woo, hallelujah. You done walked past five people on their way to hell. And you ain't open your mouth and said, Jesus loves you. How hard is that? Even if they say to hell with Jesus. But you worried about how you feel. You worried about how you look. You worried about what they gonna say. If they're not going to say, if they're going to reject you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. You don't think God knows? You got to get some tough skin in these streets. 9 out of 10 people ain't going to listen or hear or even follow him. But you go home with your saved and sanctified self, and you think you're doing something, and you ain't did nothing. Because you ain't taking dominion. You're not bringing souls to the kingdom. You just reading your Bible, having a good time, and that's great. But what about the assignment? What about the call? What about the people that were once like you? Do you know, I trace back to my mind most of my life, I can't recall one person witnessing to me about Jesus. Almost 40 years old. I'm like, what? My parents weren't saved. And I'm like, nobody witnessed to me. How did I make it all those years? And no, now I got a couple of church invites. But nobody was like, Jesus loves you. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. I didn't even know what deliverance was until, right, not that long ago. Like, nobody. I said, how did that happen? But God still spun the block and came and got you, girl, because I'm here now. So as you're looking at this Exodus phase, and as you're looking at what you're going through in this season, if that is you in this particular phase, some of you are praying for God to take it away, to take away the pain, to take away, but he's not. Using it to take you deeper. He's using it to take you deeper. Your affliction is not proof of abandonment. Your affliction is not proof of your abandonment. It's proof of your assignment. The devil don't break in empty houses. Period. He don't waste his time with people that ain't doing nothing and ain't gonna do nothing. So you think God has left you or abandoned you or forsaken you, but he has not. It's proof of your assignment. The thorn in your side may just be the crown that's being forged on your head. You want to get free. I get it. Who don't want to get free? But it's a process. And there's a price. A price that's been paid by our Father in heaven. And know that the Lord will bring you out. He don't leave you for dead. It's just not God. It's just not God. So though you may tarry, though you may travail, though you may wait, the time is coming. You got to be tested. You have to be tried. That refining, purifying fire ain't no joke. How do I know? I done been there, and I'm still going through. I'm still in my journey too, just like y'all. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 21. You read that for yourself. But the Lord will bring you out. The Lord will bring you out. It says, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord will bring you out with his mighty hand. The song we sung in worship said, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. In this phase, you will experience exposure of hidden baggages. You will experience exposure of hidden bondages. Old systems will shake. All of a sudden, your job, it ain't working. Your family is more disruptive than they've ever been. Because you're shaking systems. As a bloodline breaker, You are shifting atmospheres, shaking systems, breaking up some things. So you better know some things gonna get shook in the spirit. And you're going to see the manifestation of that. And it's a revealing of your identity. This is where God will show you and begin to show you and reveal to you who you are. God is breaking soul ties. He's breaking generational strongholds and witchcraft covenants that kept you tied and tethered to your past. And he's trying to move you into the new place. I figured we wouldn't get through today. Next week we'll continue. We will finish the second phase and I got through the deliverance, the Exodus phase. This is a fun one. Y'all better hold on to y'all seats for this one. The wilderness phase. And the next phase, the third and last phase, is the Canaan phase. The land of milk and honey. How exciting. How exciting. We thank God for being the deliverer. We thank God for being the mighty warrior that fights our battles. We thank God for not being alone in this fight, in this journey. We thank God. We thank God. And if you feel like, I feel alone on this journey. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know where to go. I don't know what to say to God even sometimes. I don't even know where to start. Just talk. You don't have to have all of the eloquent speech. You may not have have received the gift of speaking in tongues yet. Just tell God. You don't think God already knows before you even speak. He already knows what's in your heart. And if you're somebody that wants to grow a closer relationship with God and you're looking at yourself even in this sermon today and you're like, I feel like I need more deliverance. I feel like there's some areas of my life that I need to surrender and yield to God. I feel like I need to go deeper in God. I feel like this may be a place even that I can grow and mature with other like-minded believers, a safe space that I can actually just be honest with him and be open to pray and just to be in a place that I know God dwells and resides. That, you know, I want more. I've gone here. I've gone there. I've done this. I've done that. But nothing has filled the void in my life. Nothing. If that is you in the room, then you can please come to the altar and we will cover you in prayer and we will cover you in your next journey. We will walk you through deliverance. We will help you with whatever it is that God has for you. That you are not walking this journey alone. You are not walking this journey alone. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $ Flawed Free on Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.